This lesson is on the pastor and soul winning. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5. Now, you know, Timothy was a pastor. The Bible says he was the first bishop of the church at Ephesus, which is in what we call Turkey now. But it was one of the seven churches of Asia. And so Timothy was a pastor. We call this a pastoral epistle. And yet in this pastoral epistle, we read in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So we have Paul instructing a pastor to do what? The work of an evangelist. Pastors should evangelize. And this is about the pastor and the soul winning, his own personal soul winning, as well as that of the church. Do the work of an evangelist. When we evangelize, that means to win the lost. And as pastors, to also set an example in the church for others to become soul winners. You would be amazed at how many independent Baptist pastors never win souls to Christ, ever. I remember when Dr. Curtis Hudson used to do the Sword of the Lord, and he recited at one of the conferences reports from the Southern Baptist churches to their headquarters, and how over 6,000 Southern Baptist churches a year in America reported to the headquarters that they not only had no one baptized that year, but they have no record of one soul even being saved during that year. 6,000. So now there's no reason for 6,000 churches to be even open if they're not going to win some souls and see some baptisms. It's just a waste of money. Soul winning needs to be the heartbeat of the church. And really the reason, or a main reason for every ministry you have and every outreach. One pastor, one great evangelist used to say, you either evangelize or fossilize. A church either evangelizes and gets new blood coming into the church, or they fossilize, they die, they all just sit around and get older and older and older and people fall away. They get smaller and smaller and smaller until the church finally closes. Evangelism is so important. God wants to use us, and God can use us as pastors. And sometimes even the simplest efforts, God blesses. A couple of months ago, I led a young man to Christ. The experience was so simple that I left doubting if he had really been saved. Yet he has started attending church every single Sunday since then. He brought his mother and his sister to church a few weeks later, and his mother walked the aisle and was counseled with by one of our ladies and accepted Christ as her Savior. His sister also heard the gospel, but did not accept the Lord as her Savior. One of the men in our church and I went, we saw her, and in the doorway to her home, a few weeks ago, we were able to lead her to Jesus Christ. And she was back in church this morning. Last Sunday night, that same man brought another young man to church and brought him forward after the sermon. And I talked to that young man who did not accept the Lord as his Savior, but heard the gospel. And I trust the seed sown in his heart will bring fruit eventually. But when I go back to the first fella, I remember thinking when he had left, you know, I didn't even know whether he was really saved. So only God knows what's going on in the hearts of people. It's just up to us to share the story of the gospel, leave the results to God, and ask people if they would like to receive Christ as their Savior. We need to go out witnessing, expecting God to go with us. And God will go with us. Sometimes not a lot happens. Brother Sean and I were out yesterday, and we went to several homes. There was nobody home. We came to, I think, the fourth home we visited, and the fella claims to be saved. And I began talking to him about prophecy and showing him scriptures how the Lord's going to come back again, maybe very soon. Unfortunately, this situation is not good, and he had a girlfriend there living with him. And she took an interest in what we were saying. And she brought out a book that she had been reading that her sister gave her about Apollyon or something by Tim LaHaye, one of these, whatever they're called, Left Behind series books. And I turned to Luke 17 and showed her where, two are going to be in the field, one will be left, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be in bed, one will be taken, the other left. I asked her if the rapture took place today, if Christ came today, would she be left behind or would she go to meet the Lord? And she really felt she would be left behind. And so I told her, you don't have to be. And I was able to share the whole gospel with her. And Sean and I don't know, again, a similar experience. We don't know what happened. We prayed with her, and she seemed to be moved by our witness. She was in tears a few times, and only God knows her heart. But as we go out, God can use us. God can cause us to cross paths with people who want to know more about Jesus Christ, who want to hear the gospel. And so pastors need to be soul winners, and churches need to be soul-winning churches. And these couple stories are just a few memories that I wanted to share at the beginning of this of so many years now, being in Christ 37 years. And I don't know. I was taught how to be a soul winner when I was about 13 or 14 years of age, and I don't know how many hundreds of times I've been able to just open a New Testament up and show somebody how they can be saved and see them trust in the Lord as their Savior. I'm not the greatest soul winner in the world, but I do try to win souls to Christ. And this is a weakness in many pastors and churches today. In many pastors and churches, almost everything about their ministries is organized to the T except evangelism. And yet, this is the most important part. This is the great commission of the church, to preach the gospel to every creature. It ought to be the opposite way. It ought to be that evangelism and the evangelistic efforts of every local church are the most organized of all the ministries a church has. That's the way that it should be. So I want to make a few comments about soul winning. First, look at every ministry as a soul-winning ministry. Look at every ministry as a soul-winning ministry. Every Sunday school class should be a soul-winning tool. Every church meeting, whether it's Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Sunday school, it should be a soul-winning ministry. Our church has Baptist Boys Battalion and Gracious Girls Club and the bus ministry. And a seniors fellowship, and a children's church, and youth rallies, and Bible studies, prison ministries, nursing home ministries. We go to a school for troubled girls over in a town near us, and a few of our ladies have been doing that faithfully, and only a few girls come out. But over the last 2 years, 103 different girls have attended the Monday night Bible study. And everyone has heard the gospel, and many of them have received Christ as their Savior. And staff members have commented that some of these girls' behavior has changed so much that some of these workers have told me that these girls are actually sent back home because their behavior has changed so much. Every single ministry ought to be a soul-winning ministry. Last Wednesday night, as I just taught the midweek Bible study, at the end I had people bow their heads and pray if they had never received Christ as their Savior. And one teenager who's been attending our church for several months raised his hand for the first time ever and said that he had received Christ as his Savior. I want to encourage every pastor to try to get that spirit on the church that everyone, if you're taking children out camping, or if you're having a Sunday school picnic, or whatever it is, try to include the gospel. I base that on 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. It says this, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul, in another text, said that he continued witnessing both to small and to great. He just continued witnessing. And so, first, look at every ministry as a soul-winning ministry. Second, look at every member of every age as a soul winner. There is no respect of persons with God when it comes to soul winning. God can use anybody. In the first year of Christ's public ministry, he chose 12 men and he trained them. And then, towards the beginning of the second year, he sent them out two by two. During the second year of his public ministry, he found 70 other men and trained them and sent them out two by two. So now Christ, in 2 years, has 82 men or 41 teams of men going out preaching the gospel. And of course, the apostolic days, they did other things too, like healing the sick and so on. But Christ focused the first couple years as the first pastor of the church at Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, at ordaining men and elders and finding other men too, 70 other men, and equipping them by his example with knowledge to go out by two and to win those 82 people, 82 men. We read also that women can be in the gospel ministry. Philippians 4 verse 3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, who's a man, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Now, their names aren't in the book of life because they're soul winners. Their names are in the book of life because they were saved. But there were women which labored with Paul in the gospel. A couple nights ago, Thursday night, our ladies went down to the nursing home with our assistant, Pastor Seth, and afterwards they were able to talk to residents at a new nursing home that we've just gotten our foot into. And three different ladies were able to counsel with three different residents and lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Women can be soul winners. Pastors should try to get women to be soul winners, and they can lead people to Christ, and oftentimes they can be amongst the best soul winners in the church. Ladies can. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well was used by the Lord as a witness in the cities of Samaria to bring about a great two-day revival where a multitude of people believed, some because of her word, as she pointed them to Messiah, some because of the word of Jesus Christ, but in both cases she influenced them. She either brought them to Christ in faith, or she brought them to Christ personally, and then they, others, heard his word and believed. Now, this was before she got her marriage all straightened out. You see, we oftentimes think that a person has to get their whole life and all their morals and all their doctrine and all of that straightened out before they can win souls to Christ. Well, not with that lady in John chapter 4. She had had five husbands, and I believe the text tells us she was living with a man, cohabitating, and Jesus said to her, "Boy, if you'd have just asked me, I would have given you living water. That would have been a well in you springing up into everlasting life." And she said, "Lord, give me this water." And she believed on the Lord. She believed he was the Messiah. And she was still messed up, but she went. And she witnessed. And God used her. A lot of messed up people God used in the Bible. Paul was either a murderer or else he had consented to the death of many, many innocent people as he persecuted the church before his salvation. But then he was saved. And then he became a profound soul winner, one of the only men you'd ever meet who could honestly say, "My hands are free from the blood of all men. I have never crossed paths with somebody but that I didn't try to win them to Christ." I can't say that, but Paul could. And boy, what a mess he was saved out of. Moses was a murderer, a cold-blooded murderer of the Egyptians, and yet he turned so many of the hearts of the Israelites to Christ, to God in the Old Testament type. David, we think of David there and his horrible sin with Bathsheba, and how he committed adultery with her, impregnated her, and then had her husband Uriah killed in battle. And later he would repent of that sin and write a very remorseful psalm, Psalm 51. And he asked the Lord to forgive him. He asked the Lord to create in him a clean heart, to restore a right spirit in him. And then he said this, even after he had committed such a sin, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." See, it doesn't matter what we've done, we can still teach transgressors the ways of God. We can still have sinners converted to Christ. And we need to bring this hope to many fallen believers, many fallen pastors and evangelists. And there have been pastors who have fallen, in sin, and maybe committed adultery or did something, and ran off with some other woman and remarried or whatever. And as bad as they are, as messed up as they are, they can still finish the race winning souls. God can still use them to win souls. There are no qualifications to be a soul winner. God used messed up people to be soul winners. God can use teenagers to be soul winners. And I know that personally from my own experience, being saved around 12 years of age, 13, and then going to a personal evangelism course by the time I was 14, working out at different fairgrounds over at the Hamburg Fair, and winning many souls in my teen years. We have a great effort by our teens. Last year, they went out to 21 consecutive Saturdays of festivals, carnivals, parks, and fairs. They passed out in that time 32,150 tracts. They were able to lead about 10 people to Christ. They helped at the Erie County Fair and the Chautauqua County Fair, where we had 323 professions of salvation, only God knows. And at those fairs, we also gave out another 22,500 gospel tracts. That's a lot of work by a lot of teenagers. And God used them. And we use teens in our church, and every church should, and they get excited about evangelism. And we're trying to train them even better on how to go beyond just passing out tracts to witnessing to people. What about children? Here's a little story and a type in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel." And so I believe this is a reference to a little captive girl who saw one of the captains of the host there in Syria, covered with leprosy. And in a type, we have a soul-winning picture, leprosy being sin, and of course, Naaman having to get washed and be healed. But the little maid said what she knew that could help that man be recovered from his leprosy. And they took that knowledge to him, and that began his journey to get the help and the healing he needed. God can use little children. So first, look at every ministry as a soul-winning ministry. Tell every one of your Sunday school teachers, you know, if somebody comes in, teach your lesson, but try to be sure they're saved. Ask everyone personally if they're saved, and whatever ministry involved. And then second, look at every member, good or bad, as a potential soul winner. And then third, create soul-winning opportunities. Create soul-winning opportunities in your church. Have perhaps a Saturday men's visitation or a Thursday evening ladies' visitation. Find ways, there's creative ways to get the gospel out. I've heard of churches that find out when families have new babies and they go to visit those parents of new babies and they take them something and they try to talk to them about the Lord. We sometimes take gift bags to those that have purchased new homes in our area from a list that we get out of the newspaper of people that have bought new homes. Sometimes couples are just getting married, and you can find out where they are and take them something. As I mentioned, festivals. Where we live around the Buffalo area, in the surrounding area, there's about 21 consecutive weeks of different festivals where hundreds and sometimes thousands of people flock to those festivals on Saturdays and even Sundays. Sportsmen's banquets. I was at a church one time that had almost 600 men out to a sportsman's banquet to hear a famous sportsman who had a good testimony for Christ. And some sportsmen came and heard the gospel for the first time in their life, and they were saved. You can go to fairs. As we go to two different fairs in our area and set up a booth, work with a group like Amazing Grace Missions, or have your own booth. And try to witness to those that are going by. Have big days at the church where people can try to invite friends and relatives to come and hear the gospel. Run buses. Buses are a great way to evangelize in the community. Or van routes, where you're providing transportation and bringing people under the sound of the gospel. Daily Vacation Bible School is a way to reach children in the area who otherwise might not come on a Sunday. Maybe they have their own kind of a church and they're not allowed to come. Veterans Day, our singles group makes up banana bread and packages it up and takes gospel tracts and goes into American Legions and VFWs and gives them a loaf of bread and a gospel tract. Sweetheart banquets. You can have a float in the parade. Almost every church has some parade nearby where you can put a float in the parade and play some music, sing some music, pass out tracts as you go out, and your imagination can just run wild of different ways to get the gospel into the community. And knocking on doors, going door to door with flyers or whatever. And then fourth, train people to win souls. Train people to win souls. Have classroom-type settings once in a while where you train people how to win someone to Jesus Christ. And keep the training going. Maybe rent or purchase videos or DVDs of other soul winners and play them for your church. Or make up your own so that a class can be revolving on new people coming in so they can learn how to win souls to Christ. The man I was telling you about earlier that I led to the Lord a couple months ago, last Sunday night when he brought his friend forward after the service, and I began to converse with his friend to try to share the gospel with him. This young man opened his Bible to John 3 and verse 16 and held it out to his buddy and read John 3:16 out loud to him. See, he's already trying. He already knew at least where one verse was that he could share with his buddy to lead. So even babes in Christ can learn how to win souls to Christ. And then not only have a classroom setting, but many lessons are learned out in the field. So take people with you. And have other experienced soul winners in your church, men and women, take people with them. Invest in the teenagers. They seem to pick up on it really quickly, and they can be great soul winners. Then have testimony times at church so that people can share their experiences of chances they had to witness so that that fire can keep going in the church. Have a visitation soul winning training manual. Our church has made one up. You can order one from us. And this just gives people general instructions. And give it to everyone in the church. Impress upon their hearts that this is their duty. That it's not just for pastors or those that are, quote, full-time in the ministry, end quote, but it's for everybody. Everybody needs to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. And then teach them everything about it as though they knew nothing. I mean, teach them how to dress, how to comb their hair, how to polish their shoes, brush their teeth, have good breath, how the ladies should dress, how the men should dress, how to approach the door, how to knock on the door, how to step back from the door and give them, give people space so you don't scare them when they open the door. Have them look away from the door so they don't stare them down when someone opens the door. And how to begin conversations with people, how to start a conversation using a gospel tract, and how to go from talking about people personally to what church they attend to spiritual things, to eternal life. Give your folks different gospel plans. It's all one gospel. It's about Jesus Christ, but there's sometimes different plans they'll be comfortable with. We're working at our church on a booklet about seven different gospel presentations that a person can use and get comfortable with one or two to share the gospel with them. We can reach many, many souls if we will try to train everybody. Train children, teens, adults, senior citizens can be soul winners. There's a ministry in America now, Amazing Grace Missions. It's gone national into other nations, where many retired people, senior citizens who have RVs or campers, can go around to different fairs all year long, well, about 9 or 10 months out of the year. Somewhere in America, there's a fair going on, and they set up booths, and they go out in a blaze of glory doing God's work. They're not retired, they're refired, and some of these are the most fired up people on earth as they're trying to win souls to Christ. Let's not lose the vision for the wisdom of soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. I did a pyramid one time, and I would encourage everyone to do this sometime. Get a calculator out and just start with one person who's going to be a soul winner. And then he multiplies himself and reaches and trains someone else, and now you have two. Then two double, and you have four, and then you have eight, and then you have 16, and 32, and 30, and 64, and 128, and 256, 512, 1024, 2028. And if you just keep multiplying those things, those numbers, you come up to over 8 billion in 34 steps. How many people are on earth today? About 6 billion, about 6.5. In other words, the world could be reached in 34 steps. It is not an impossibility. It is the plan of an all-wise God. But the fault is that pastors are not winning souls, and they're not producing soul winners and missionaries in their churches. Pastors have become entertainers rather than equippers. Pastors, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what they're supposed to do. Now, the pastor is supposed to go out soul winning to be a role model. And because he's a Christian, because he's saved, it's his duty. But he's not the only one that's supposed to be winning souls. Pastors aren't supposed to burp babies, but they're to build boys and to train soldiers and soul winners. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And here's one of the greatest promises you'll ever get. In Daniel 12 and verse 3, it says this, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." We need to try to turn many to righteousness. Those are the ones that are going to shine. It says about John the Baptist, what? He turned many of the children of Israel to the Lord. That needs to be our testimony. Jesus is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. That word shepherd is a synonym for pastor. And we learn about him, even though he was the pastor of the first church at Jerusalem. It says in Luke 19, he said this, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, if Jesus was the great shepherd and he could win souls, then no pastor is exempt from it. No pastor is exempt from going out and trying to win souls to Christ. Pastors, we're not doing our jobs until everyone in our church is challenged to be a personal soul winner. Jesus said this, and I'll close in Mark 1 and verse 17, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Somebody once observed about that statement, if we're not fishing, we're not following. If we're not fishing, I don't care how wise you are, pastor, how much you sit in your office and study, or how organized your churches and your ministries, if we're not fishing, we're really not following Christ. So be a soul winner and train everybody you can in the church to win souls. And they'll thank you in heaven for it. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray each one of us, these men and myself too, would have more fire for souls than ever before. And Lord, I pray you'd bless this message to anyone that may ever hear it or read it. Help us now with music practice. Lord, give us glorious days, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday coming up, and revival, Lord, through these special meetings. And speak to us through the sermon to follow tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.